You're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with DJ Cabaret.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in today. You are listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with me, DJ Cabaret, right here on Penguin Radio. radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. So today we will be talking about first dates, which is always an interesting topic when brought up with friends and family. And throughout the episode and any future episodes, I want to invite my audience, whoever that may be, to participate. So you are welcome to text in with any questions or input that you have and that you want to be on my shows. So the phone number is 415-570-2969. And just a reminder, you will remain completely anonymous if you want to. So there's absolutely no need to tell me who you are or where you're from. However, I would love to hear from you guys. So with that, let's get this show started. So I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that I've heard many stories where first dates end up just horribly, which ends up being hilarious when looking back on the experience later. And that could be anything from being stood up and sitting at a table alone waiting for your date to come for long amounts of time. I've also heard of people being so nervous that they just threw up. And first dates are really difficult for a lot of people, and there are a lot of different kinds of first dates, and it really depends on your own personal story. So first, I wanted to talk about blind dates, which I've been fascinated by since I first understood what a date was. So a blind date is when there's two people who are meeting each other for the very first time when they go on the date together. And since I was young, I always envisioned two people going on a date after they had met one another and they at least kind of knew about the other person. And so I guess this idea of blind dates is just totally crazy to me. The culture that our society is in today sets many blind dates up because of internet relationships and websites such as Match.com and eHarmony. And so with those kinds of websites, there are many statistics of extremely successful relationships, and it helps people really get out into the real world and meet real people and potentially find someone that you could fall in love with. And so as I stated last week on my show, I was talking about what love is and some myths about love. And there's this premise that when you get onto these websites or ones like them, that you're looking for the one. And there's also the idea that these websites might not have the one on them. There's a lot of people on the websites, but you still need to go out into the world and find someone. And as I said before on my last show, I think that this is a super nice idea that people are going out into the world looking for the one, their one and only person that could be out there for them. But I also stated that I do not think that this is realistic at all. I think that websites like eHarmony and Match.com are wonderful because you can put down all of your interests and your beliefs, and you can find people who match up with you and like the same things and do the same things that you do, which is a really great way to kind of, you know, weed out some of those fish in the sea that might not be your perfect match. And I think that websites like this really do help people visually see and understand that there are many more people out there in the world that could be their one, and that there really isn't only just one person, that there are a lot of people that have similar interests and share their likes and things like that. So anyway, back on the topic about blind dates, I think that blind dates are absolutely terrifying, especially just thinking about them to me. But I also see the appeal of it. So you know, when your best friend sets you up with someone and they tell you, yeah, this guy is going to be super great and amazing for you and you're so going to love him. Somewhere in your brain, you really want to trust your best friend and listen to them and see what they have to say. And, you know, they might just be right. It is your best friend and they seem to know you pretty well. At least my best friend does. Most of my friends know me pretty well, so I would want to trust them. I would want to be able to say, yes, okay, I will listen to you. I will go on this date. And I guess that would be personally the only way I would go on a blind date. But now in my personal experience, I've never been on a blind date per se, but I have been put into situations where my friends are trying to push me and someone else that I've never met together. And I definitely did not know this person before, but it was a group experience. So there was a lot less pressure than what a typical blind date would say, have per se. So this is where I believe maybe the culture of hookups comes into play, where, you know, there's less pressure and you're in a group setting and you're with a lot of people that are in the like mind. And there are also apps like Tinder and Grindr, which are based solely on looks. And I believe that this could create issues. For instance, there are some studies and experiments done to demonstrate how based on looks these apps are. A social experiment recently put on by Simple Pickup was posted on YouTube just a little over a year ago. The original experiment was called the, quote, Fat Girl Tinder Date Social Experiment, which some of you may have seen when it went viral on the internet. For those of you who didn't see it, it was a girl who had posted some photos of herself on Tinder of her slim body and slim face. And after she had lined up a couple of dates so she would go on from Tinder, she went through a very intensive makeup change to change entirely how she looked, and also put on a fat suit to make it look like she had gained quite a lot of weight. So with these lined up dates, she put on all her makeup. She went out in her fat suit, and this experiment, it was uncovering just how into looks some people are when they're on this app, Tinder. And the men that she was meeting were more uncomfortable than I've ever seen someone on a first date. And they were extremely rude to her as well. Some of these guys even walked out on her. They said, "Excuse me, do you know where the bathroom is?" And they left for like 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, the girl just accepted that they would never come back. And that's totally crazy to me, that someone would just, you know, try to act polite and then leave. It's just amazing to me. So if you guys want to weigh in on this video piece, you can text me at that phone number I mentioned, which is 415-570-2969. So this whole social experiment put on, it's so discouraging, even to women who actually, you know, aren't overweight. I mean, do you think that if this woman, you know, she obviously wasn't overweight, she had done makeup and put on a fat suit, but if she was, do you think she ever would want to go through that again? I mean, I'd be totally thrown off guard and probably never want to go on a blind date again. Probably I would be hesitant to even go on a regular date. And this is why I think that blind dates are super terrifying and probably not a great route to go on and try to be on a relationship on, but that's just me. And something else I've been researching in the terms of first dates is speed dating. And there's a super classic video scene from the movie Hitch with Will Smith, where there's this whole speed dating scenario going on, and the people are just dating, you know, very quickly. They're learning about each other. And so at some points, you know, one person doesn't even have the chance to talk. So I guess some people, I suppose, would consider this a first date. And for those of you who haven't seen Hitch and don't know what a speed date is, this is when you go to a location determined by whoever or whatever company is putting on the speed dating session, and you get a number or an assigned table, and then you speed date people. So there's a timer and it goes very quickly, usually about a minute per person or a minute and a half per person. And you just kind of explain everything about yourself to one another. And I guess this is a really interesting topic to me, because I don't think you can have an initial attraction to someone that people are searching for so badly at these speed dating events. And I don't really think you can determine if you like someone in a minute and a half. I know that there is initial attraction, but this kind of brings me to the point that, you know, you would go home at the end of the night and you feel like you just met 100 people that you hardly know. And so I guess you would say that to me, I would feel like this is kind of like a job interview. And just so you guys know, I thought that dates were like job interviews such a long time ago. And this is basically because you have to sit in front of someone and prove yourself worthy of them. And you have to do this at a job. You have to say why you're qualified and why you should be with them. And it's the same on a first date, especially with speed dating. You're trying to pull out all of your cards to show how impressive you are, that, you know, you want them to call you back. So why wouldn't you pull out the big stop? So I kind of looked into this because I thought maybe I was the only one who thought that speed dating and first dates were like a job interview. So after some research, according to multiple websites, other people totally agreed with me. They believe that first dates are just like job interviews, that there are questions they are bound to ask you. There are correct and incorrect answers most of the time. And there are even sometimes people who really just don't even give you a second chance because of something that you say, and everything that you do matters. So how, what you say, how you dress, what time you arrive, the jokes you laugh at, you know, the way you present yourself visually and how you, your facial expressions, they look at all of that. So whether that be a job interview or first date, it's so nerve-wracking. I mean, I don't know why we do this, but I guess the end result and what you're hoping for in the end makes it worth it. So, I mean, you always have to wait and see, especially with something like dating, if the end result is worth it. You have to see if it's something that you really want to get into. And this speed dating, to me, as a first date, doesn't work out. I think that blind dates, to me, also are terrifying. They definitely work out. I've seen a ton of statistics that they work, but I guess you never know until you try. So now that I've covered what it is like to have a first date as a blind date and speed dating, and that it's kind of like a job interview when you go on a first date, I'll next want to talk to you a little bit about the do's and don'ts of a first date. So stay right here. This is DJ Cabaret on The Hookup and Everything Else About Relationships. I'll be right back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Take it easy on me, I'm afraid you'll never sigh.
What's up, you guys? This is DJ Cabaret here on The Hookup and Everything Else About Relationships on radio.dominican.edu. So in our first segment today, we were talking about blind dates as first dates and some social experiments that found out that apps like Tinder and Grindr are a little bit more based on looks than some people want to admit. We also were talking about speed dating and how first date is a little bit like a job interview. And first dates are definitely scary for a lot of people, and I know sometimes it's easiest for people if they have a short list of some do's and don'ts for something that they don't know about yet. So I thought that I should give you a list of do's and don'ts if you're going on your first date. And remember that you guys can put your opinions here on the show. You can text me at 415-570-2969, and I will read your opinions and your input throughout the show on the topics that I'm talking about, and you can remain completely anonymous. So if you guys have any do's and don'ts you want to add to the list for do's and don'ts of a first date, just text me and let me know. And with that, I wanted to mention that I am not the only one who's giving input on this section. So in addition to some of the texts that you guys might be sending in, I have been asking some friends and family about this and what their opinions are on what to do and what not to do on a first date. So I'll be reporting, I guess you could say, on their behalf. And I also looked into some resources online, which the general public, I guess you would say, would find reliable, I suppose. So let's get into it. I was thinking it would be best if I gave you a list of five do's and five don'ts, just so it's easy to follow, because I wouldn't want to send you out on your first date with far too many rules to follow. So the number one thing to do on a date is do be authentic. I believe that being authentic is how you end up with someone long term. And if you listened to my show last week here on radio, radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio, you know that I have been with my boyfriend for a little over a year and a half. And I believe that in our first few weeks together, I was more authentic with him than I have been with anybody in my whole life. I really wanted him to see me for who I really was. And I spoke the truth. And honestly, I tried not to impress him. I wanted him to be impressed with the totally boring, mundane life of me, which is not super impressive. And I realized somewhere along the line that if he wasn't, you know, into who I really was, you know, me being super authentic, that our relationship would never work out. And I'm really happy that I played my cards right early on in our relationship, and I urge you to do the same. On the first date with someone, you have to be authentic. Otherwise, how do you anticipate that the other person is going to be authentic with them? And how do you think they're going to want to stay with you if you don't show your true colors in the beginning? So being authentic is a definite do on the first date. The second thing that you should do on your first date is be polite and be respectful. I would be super turned off by someone that was rude and inconsiderate if it was my first date with them. I understand, yes, everybody has bad days. Everybody gets frustrated. Everybody gets annoyed. But on a first date, it is definitely the best to be polite and understanding of the other person. Especially if you're expecting them to be nice and kind towards you, you should do the same. I mean, that's, I guess, to me, just common sense. It's the golden rule. You need to, you know, be super kind and understanding of the other person. So the second thing you have to do is be polite and respectful on a first date. And our number three thing to do on a first date is to listen. Listening to what your date has to say is so vitally important down the road. I mean, if you're thinking about what you're going to say next, or how you look, or you know, what the person across the restaurant is doing, or anything else besides listening to them, then you have nothing to respond with when they ask you, what do you think? I mean, you're just going to look so silly when they say, what about you? And you have no clue what they just said. I think that listening on a first date and later in the relationship, but that's totally regardless, you should listen. But listening on first date is something that everybody has to do, and everybody kind of has to learn to do a little bit more, because a lot of people are super self-absorbed and, you know, they're thinking about themselves. So number three thing to do on a first date is definitely to listen. Our number four thing on our list of do's for a first date is to keep eye contact, smile, and display positive body language. So there's a lot of psychology of what positive body language is, and it is something as simple as subtle body contact. So that could be touching their shoulder, or some women even accidentally touch someone to keep eye contact with them. So that's definitely, you know, those things, most of the time they're subconscious, but if you realize that you're trying, you know, your body's kind of constricting back into itself and, you know, you're not really showing your true self, then you know, you kind of have to let go of that. You have to let go and let, you know, your subconscious take over and let those positive body language signs come out, because other people definitely notice them and they see them as well. And smiling is one of those things, which is very important. And it's a positive body language sign that most people pick up regardless of their gender. I know that, you know, smiling is definitely something polite to do, but if you're on a first date with someone and you are totally straight face, you're not smiling, they're going to think you are bored out of your mind. They're not going to be interested. So smiling is super, super important. Also, keeping eye contact, I would say, is the most important part of a relationship, especially on that first date. It shows respect and it demonstrates that you're present in the conversation and that you're engaged to the person that you're speaking to. And I mean, I think that, you know, keeping eye contact is, I mean, to me, it's super sexy. I mean, if you're going to keep eye contact with someone, that just shows that, you know, you are really there and you really want to be there. So number 4 on our list is keep eye contact, smile, and display positive body language. So the last thing that we have on our list of things to do on a first date is asking for the second date. And this is all about confidence. And I think it's super important to be confident and poised throughout the entire day. And confidence as well is sexy, regardless of your gender. So, I mean, confidence, some people mistake this as, you know, they need to be more confident in themselves, which I don't say don't be confident in yourself. You have to do that as well. But if you're super confident, then you sometimes start to seem, you know, self-absorbed, which is dangerous territory. You don't want to walk on any lines there. So you want to seem confident in the date. You want to seem confident that you are there, that you are present. You want to really be with the person you're with. So being confident in the date instead of being super confident in yourself, well, it'll take away some of the stress of seeming self-absorbed and a little bit cocky and annoying to the other person. So being confident in that date and being confident that it'll work out between the two of you, that's where the confidence comes in. I think that's super important. And it, you know, you should remember this when, you know, you need to exude that confidence throughout your entire date, but then asking for a second date is really, really important as well. So just to recap, the 5 do's of a first date are: number 1, be authentic. Number 2, be polite. Number 3, listen. Number 4, have positive body language. And number 5, be confident and ask for that second date. Alrighty, so now that we've taken note of the things to do on a date, let's look at what not to do on a first date. And just a reminder, you guys can text in to me with anything you want to add to this list. The phone number is 415-570-2969. Alrighty, so the first don't on a first date is don't underfill or overfill the teacup. All right, so let me explain this a little bit for you guys. So think about the teacup as your conversation between you and your date. So you don't want to underfill the teacup with your voice and your information and your stories, but you definitely want your date to know that who you are by the end of the night, but you don't want them to, you know your entire life story. You want them to be intrigued. So this leads me to don't overfill the teacup either for the sake of your date. Please don't do that. You want to remain somewhat mysterious. You don't want to give them, you know, everything that you've ever done, what you had for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner like 3 weeks ago. They don't need to know that. So you definitely want to let them talk too. It'll create a much more natural conversation between the two of you, and it'll be a lot more comfortable at that point and at any point going on, you know, then neither of you feel like you're sharing too much or sharing too little. So just make sure that you stay within, you know, so each of you are talking about 50-50 and that you know the same amount about them that you want them to know about you. So along those same lines of don't underfill and overfill the teacup, the second don't on our list of things not to do on a first date is don't talk about your exes. This kills your first date so quickly. It makes them uncomfortable, and it also sheds light on possible mistakes that your date may or may not make in the future if they choose to stay with you after you have just mentioned your ex on a first date. So, you know, it would make them, you know, feel like anything they do, you could get upset because your ex may or may not have done that. And it also sometimes for some people, it brings up maybe they're still thinking about their ex or they still want to be with their ex, especially if you bring it up on a first date. It seems like something of a recent conversation. So definitely don't talk about your exes. You know, talking about them is a conversation that you probably want to save for later in the relationship if you both feel comfortable at that point. So at number three on our things not to do on a first date is don't drink too much. So I'm not talking water. I'm not talking apple juice. I'm talking do not drink too much alcohol. This is so vital on a first date. Whether this be at a party or on a first date out to dinner, no matter how nervous you are, no matter how anxious you are, don't drink too much. You might feel funnier or sexier or more confident after you've had a couple shots or a couple glasses of wine or some tequila. But if you are looking for someone that, you know, you want them to take you seriously and you want them to treat you like the absolutely amazing person you are, then don't hide behind alcohol. Just don't drink too much. Just if you really wanted to have a glass of wine on your first date, keep it classy. Keep it really simple so that both people can respect one another and it's not uncomfortable at any point. So number three on our list was don't drink too much. So number four thing that you don't want to do on a first date is don't go Dutch. And for those of you who don't know what this means, that going Dutch is splitting the bill for whatever the two of you do together. And this is kind of me as a personal rule. Regardless of the gender of both people on the date, I think that it is best for the person who proposed the date to pay, regardless of the gender. And if you both enjoyed the date and if you were the one that was asked on the date originally and you really want to go on another date, then you should propose that you will pay for the next date. I think, you know, if that's what you want to do, then you should propose to do that. And, you know, I think it'll make both of you feel more comfortable with each other. And I think that it shows that confidence that kind of goes along the lines of, you know, asking for the second date. I think that it's super great. So the number four thing you don't want to do on a first date is don't go Dutch. So the last thing that you don't want to do on a first date is don't be on your phone the whole time. This makes it seem like you are so much more interested in something else other than them. And that's the last thing you want someone to think when you're on a first date with them. So you don't need to check Instagram while your date tells you about their day. You don't need to check Facebook while your date is asking what they should order for dinner. And you don't need to be texting your friend while your date is talking about their family. You should really listen to them and respect them and be present in the conversation. And yes, we are putting this on the list of don't do on a first date, but this is also a don't for every other date that follows. So just don't do this, you guys. It's super disrespectful, especially if you want the other person to be there with you. Then why would it be okay for you to be on your phone and basically be somewhere else while you're on a date with them? I mean, that's just, I don't know. I would never, I really don't like when someone does that to me, and I would never want to do that to someone that I, you know, felt feelings for. So that's my belief. Just don't do this on a first date. Do not be on your phone the whole time, and don't do it on any other date as well. Alrighty. So let's recap those don'ts. Number one, don't underfill or overfill the teacup. Number two, don't talk about your exes. And number 3, don't drink too much. Number 4, don't go Dutch. And number 5, don't be on your phone the entire time. And that follows for every other date besides the first one as well. Alrighty, you guys, so now that we've kind of covered the do's and don'ts of a first date, next I'm kind of going to want to talk to you about hooking up and dating your friends and any fun hookup stories. So this is DJ Cabaret coming to you live from my show, The Hookup, and everything else about relationships here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
We were both young when I first saw you. I close my eyes and the flashback starts. I'm standing there on a balcony in summer air. The ball gowns, see you make your way through the crowd and say hello. Little did I know that you were Romeo, you were throwing pebbles, and my daddy said, stay away from Juliet. And I was crying on the staircase, begging you, please don't go.
For staying tuned here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And for those listeners who just joined us, you're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships right here on Penguin Radio with me, DJ Cabaret. So I've been discussing first dates and hookups, some do's and don'ts of a first date, and now I want to talk to you guys about hookups and friends with benefits. So if you have any stories on hookups or first dates or friends with benefits or anything like that, just make sure you text me and let me know. I want to get your thoughts here on the radio, so just text the number 415-570-2969. Alrighty, so with that, I wanted to say that I feel like, speaking from personal experience and from some other people's experiences, at least once in everyone's life, I think everybody's felt some attraction or special feelings for someone that was their best friend. And don't get me wrong, I understand this entirely. I know that more times than not, it is hard, super hard, to go from being someone's best friend or, you know, someone that you hang out with all the time to being their hookup, or someone that, you know, is your friends with benefits for a while and then, you know, being their significant other. And I have some best friends that were friends first. They knew each other a little over a year ago. Actually, I got a text from them just before this show, and they wanted me to share their story. So I'm super glad that they wanted to get their voice here on the radio. So I was asking them, you know, what was their first date or how did they, you know, first start hooking up or whatever. And she, my friend texted me and she said that the original plan was that he was going to come over for Game of Thrones and chill, which is basically like Netflix and chill for anybody who doesn't watch Game of Thrones. And that was the first time that they ever hooked up. And fast forward today, they are both madly in love and now they are significant others. So congrats to them. And I think that that's super hard. I give them full props. Props, you guys. I love you guys. I think this is crazy. I've never heard too many stories where this is a success. And now that they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're definitely happier than I've seen both of them in a long time. So I think that this transition for anybody that's not my friends is, you know, really hard. And it's if it works, it's great. It's amazing. It's something that, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here telling you guys about it. I think it's awesome that they could do this. And if the transition's just super awkward, then it seems next to impossible. You get those, you know, the super awkward silences, or, you know, that you don't text for a while, and there's a lot of tension. And, you know, once you start hooking up, then it's hard to go back to being just friends and, you know, kind of forget that the whole thing happened. And there's also, you know, the idea that, you know, one person might want to move on and become significant others with each other, and the other person might just want to go back to being friends, and they really did just think that this was like a one-night thing or a one-time thing. So I think it really depends on the personalities of the two people, of course. And I think that it's always important to keep that in mind, that if you have, you know, feelings towards someone that's your friend, or, you know, you feel that they might not have the same feelings, then maybe talking to them about it or exploring what could happen with that, it's a good plan. But you kind of have to, you know, think about the personality between you and them and, you know, what might come of that later. So that's super important. And I recommend that if you are friends with someone and you have special feelings for them, that you talk to them about it, or maybe, you know, kind of test the waters and see what it would be like. So with that, throughout the episode, I've been talking about first dates, and in a lot of cases, especially in college culture and with people, you know, that are younger, with hookups, that's something that's super common. And friends with benefits is, I think, probably even more common. And that first date experience doesn't really happen very often, if at all. And so you miss a lot of those first impressions that people generally get nervous about when going on a first date. You don't get to, you know, ask those questions that might seem a little bit like a job interview. And it is, you know, depending on how you look at this, it could be a blessing or a curse. I think that it's being someone's best friend before dating is a super great way to get to know someone and see if the relationship would work out between the two of you. You know what they like, you know what they dislike. You know their, you know, allergies, their favorite movies, you know, all the weird little details about them because you're already friends. But you know, since you're already friends, this could also lead to them treating you differently once the two of you are in a relationship. They could continue to treat you just like a friend, like they always have, and this might not be the same attention and affection that you would want from a significant other. I know that when I, you know, first started dating my current boyfriend, that, you know, we had never really gone through the friend phase. So there was already, you know, the feelings, I was already looking for the attention and affection from a significant other. I was never really looking for someone to treat me like a friend. However, I've heard in multiple cases that when, you know, you're friends with someone first, that it's hard to get past the being friends stage. It's hard to, you know, get past the talking, you know, over text only and hanging out when you're with a group of friends, and being on that, you know, first one-on-one interaction could be super awkward for some people, especially if they've always been in a group and, you know, they feel chemistry when they're in the group. And then as soon as they just, it's just the two of them, then it gets kind of awkward and it's hard. And, you know, they might see you in a different light. And I also think it's important to notice that if someone just wants to hook up with you, if they want it to be a one-night stand or a one-time thing, then, you know, you kind of have to look at the idea that they might not want this to be a relationship, that this might not be a first impression, first date experience for them, that it's, you know, it's their friend and they're just looking for a hookup. And it's, I think it's super important for people to know what they're looking for. And that being said, however, if you think you know what you're looking for and you're only looking for that one thing, then you might skip over some opportunities that are out there that could be really good for you. So there is a fine line and a delicate balance between knowing what you're looking for and being able to set boundaries for what you're looking for. And also keeping an open mind and being open to different opportunities as they arise and seeing what happens. I know personally, I didn't ever think that my boyfriend and I would be dating for over a year and a half. We did a long distance relationship, and I totally commend him for that. If you're listening, babe, thank you so much for dealing with me over a year and a half. You know, you treated me great. And I have also watched a lot of relationships fall and fail from that. And I never would have been open into getting a relationship before I left. So I think that I, you know, staying open is a really, really great thing. So as I mentioned earlier, the hookup culture that is on college campuses today is really strange to me. And as I mentioned just a few seconds ago, I did do a long distance relationship with my boyfriend. I lived in Santa Barbara all of last year, which gave me a front row seat to the hookup culture that we live in today. For those of you who don't know, Santa Barbara, Isla Vista specifically, is the party capital of college campuses today, which means there are quite a lot of interesting stories that come from there. I'm sure you'll hear many more if you keep listening to my show. But anyway, yeah, I was in the front row seat to this hookup culture that we're living with. And I really liked hearing all the stories that people had to tell me and getting the details from everyone. I mean, there were some crazy stories about hookups where people did not even know someone's first name. They couldn't even remember if they had hooked up with someone the last night. I mean, that was just totally crazy to me. And, you know, it was so exciting hearing these stories and super interesting. And I was really intrigued by this whole culture. And I'm not sure that if my boyfriend heard this, he would be really happy. I think he'd be a little discouraged, but I was not intrigued by, you know, getting myself into the hookup culture and getting myself into these crazy stories. I did not want to be the subject of one of these stories, but I thought it was really fascinating that people just wanted to like sleep around with multiple people regardless of anything. They just didn't even care who they were. They just wanted it for the experience. And that is so flooring to me. I can't even imagine not knowing someone and wanting to have an intimate relation with them, whether that just be, you know, a kiss or a hookup or anything further than that. I personally want to at least know someone's name. I mean, I can't really judge personally because I met my current boyfriend and he and I had our first kiss, you know, the next day. There was no waiting. And we had sex after, you know, knowing each other for like less than 2 weeks. And I think that, I at least got to know him a little bit. I was texting him. I did meet him a few times. I knew a bunch of his friends. They could all tell me about him. So that, to me, is a totally different view of things. However, you know, in Santa Barbara, these people were just doing it because they wanted the experience. They really didn't need any other information or any backstory to this person. And I think that maybe that might be the reason why that there's, you know, so many STDs and STIs that go around Santa Barbara. They just don't even care. The conversation is not even there. It just happens. So, you know, for me, I hung out with my boyfriend and his friends and my friends, and I know that I was instantly attracted to him. And there was a small phase where, you know, let me put some more emphasis on small, period of time where he and I were just friends. Maybe that lasted a couple hours or so. But then after there was a flirtatious attraction, and it moved on to the positive body language I was talking about earlier. And all of these things progressed super quickly for me. And I don't particularly think that that's a bad thing. I think that although we never went on a first date, and, you know, even if we had, it probably would have been proper and elegant, but those first impressions that we had for one another did kind of have a hookup-ish feeling in the beginning there, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I didn't even think I was looking for something more serious. But, you know, if you think that you are looking for something more serious, you need to be able to have those first impressions and your initial emotions about a person. And then you can pursue on from there because, you know, going on a first date now is getting harder and harder, especially for people in the college age range, because, you know, dates cost money and money is scarce when you're in college, and hookups are just so much more natural and they happen so much more often. But that's just my two cents on the topic. But, you know, I think that in relation to first dates, which can either be super great or go terribly wrong, I wanted to share with you guys some totally hilarious dates that I've heard about. And I wanted to hear some of your first date fails or hilarious stories from hookups or anything that you guys want to share for any date or hookup you had been on. So you can shoot me a text at 415-570-2969. Okay, so while I get some texts from you guys and you tell me your stories, let me read you some quotes from Cosmopolitan. They posted a hashtag on Twitter called First Date Fails. So here are some of those that I found. So this first one is from Hooks and Brooks, and she is saying, my date was making moaning sounds all during the sex scenes in the movie. So on a first date, oh my God, why? What would you even do while this is happening? I think that maybe I would just excuse myself to the bathroom or maybe ignore him. Oh my God, I don't even know. That just sounds absolutely horrible. So props to you, Hooks and Brooks. I don't know if you're still dating this person, but props to you, even if you got through the whole movie. I think that's awesome. So this next one here is from Joanne, which reads, quote, the entire date consisted of this. He took me on a long drive in his truck. I had no idea where we were. Then we stopped at a gas station. He bought me an ice cream bar. Then he drove me home. What? I'm not even sure that this guy was knowing what to do or how to treat anybody that he's on a date with. Maybe he was nervous. Maybe he just didn't really know what. Oh my God, that just is horrible. I wonder if they ever went on a date again, or maybe this was the first and last date for them. I hope maybe for her that this was the first and last date. What would you even say when you're getting out of the car? Well, how would you even respond? Like, thanks for the ice cream and the drive. I'm not even sure if I would consider that a first date. Unless he said, do you want to go on a date? And this is what he put forward. My God, that's just horrible. All right. Another one from Cosmopolitan. The hashtags is from Sabrina. And it reads, I went out with a guy I had known for years. And within the first half hour, he asked if we could get naked. Then to seal the deal, he took me out to dinner at a fast food place. No. Oh no, poor Serena. Oh my God, this just makes me question the friendship before the date. Was he always thinking about her sexually? Oh my goodness, I don't even know what I would do. I mean, go you, Sabrina, for even letting him take you to dinner at a fast food place. I mean, that took a lot of, you know, no, dude, this isn't going to happen. We're not getting naked. But oh my God, that's horrible. That just gives me chills. Alrighty, here's another one from Cosmo, and this is from a reader, Sarah, which reads, the first words that came out of his mouth were, damn, your boobs are so much smaller than they were in your profile picture. I got in my car and left. Props to you, girl. That is what I call self-respect, and that girl nailed it. I think that this is awesome. Most girls would probably just brush that off and try to go on with the date and pretend that he never made such an obscene comment. Oh my God, I don't even know what I would do in that situation. I don't even know why a guy would think that that is okay to say in the first place. So oh my God, Sabrina, thank you for posting that. I think that that is something that's really great. Just so people know that, you know, that you don't have to put up with such horrible dates. I mean, that's hilarious to look back on, and I'm sure she has lots of laughs with her friends. So that's something that, props to you. Thank you for sharing that. That's really great. Alrighty, I have a couple texts here from some people who are listening. Just so you know, if you want to text in, the phone number is 415-570-2969. Alrighty, so here from phone number 415, they said, I once made a girl cry because I didn't have sex with her. I'm not really sure if that shows some desperation from the girl. Maybe this guy was just so irresistible. I don't even know, but that is something funny to look back on and say, you know, this girl cried because I didn't want to sleep with her. I think that that is quite an experience for someone. Alrighty, I have kind of a long one here for you guys, so bear with me. So this girl says, I went to a wedding of the guy that I lost my virginity to, made out with the best man at the reception, met the mother of the best man, and slept with him only the night before to have the groom, whom I lost my virginity to, burst in on both of us naked the next morning. Oh my God. How? Oh my God. How does that even? Okay, so she went to the wedding of someone that she lost her virginity to, and then she slept with the best man, which I have to assume is either their, you know, the groom's best friend or brother or cousin or something. And then the next morning, the groom walks in on the two of them. Oh my God, that is unbelievable. How is that real? I can't even imagine how that that happens. Oh my goodness. Okay, all right, here's another one. So this girl, you know, that she had been friends with this guy for a while, and she says that after they were at a party, the guy was a little bit drunk, and you know, he wanted to be able to walk her home. So she said, okay, after he had practically begged her. And she says that once they got home, they, you know, they were making out on her bed or whatever. And she super did not want to sleep with him. So he said, excuse me. He had to, you know, excuse himself to the restroom for just a minute. And while he was in the restroom, she ordered him an Uber to take him home. Oh my God. Props to you, girl, for having the guts to be able to call an Uber and just take him home, that you were done with him. You did not want to deal with him. I think that is totally awesome. I wonder what his response was when he came back from the bathroom and she said, okay, your Uber's going to be here in a couple minutes. I wouldn't know what to do if someone did that to me. I'm sure he probably just continued on, you know, with this girl trying to impress her. So I think that that's, oh my goodness. I am impressed. I am thoroughly impressed by you. So if you're listening, I think that is awesome. Props to you. I would never be able to do that. And I don't even know how I would properly ask them to leave without doing what you said. Oh my gosh. Alrighty. So those are all the texts that I got today. So just so you guys know, you have been listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret here on Penguin Radio. Thank you for listening to my show, which is on every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. And today we did it on Thursday just because there was a soccer game on Tuesday, if anybody tuned in. Next week on Tuesday, I will be talking to you about complicated relationships and how to deal with those. So make sure you listen in next week on Tuesday. Also, be sure to check in every other day for other student shows that'll be here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Make sure you stay tuned. Later tonight, we have another show with by a student coming up, I believe, at 6 o'clock. So she'll be coming at you a little bit later. So I will see you next week here on The Hookup on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you for listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Listen every day for other radio shows from students here at Dominican University of California.